You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Alan Cardoza, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. As a licensed private investigator and certified instructor in nonviolent crisis intervention, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some remarkable people. I will bring you some of these incredibly talented, caring, and entertaining people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Having escorted thousands of teens to specialized schools and programs, returned hundreds of runaways, and retrieved many abducted children, I bring a unique outlook on what kids today are going through and what can be done to help them thrive. And if that doesn't work, how we as parents can survive. Today, we have a rare treat. First, we have our co-host in LA Talk Radio's own TJ McCormick. TJ has his own show, along with his cast of characters, Monday through Friday from noon to 2 p.m. called The World of TJ McCormick, right here at LA Talk Radio. Our guests today are Bo Hopkins and Logan Clark. Bo is an actor and producer with over 120 film and TV credits, including favorites such as American Graffiti and The Wild Bunch. Logan is a world-renowned investigator and author, and what many don't know, Logan himself has 17 TV and movie credits of his own. In fact, one of my favorite quotes of his was when a television producer asked him what the biggest difference between acting and undercover investigation was. Without missing a beat, Logan said, "When we're undercover, there's no take two." Bo, Logan, welcome to the show.
Great.
How you doing?
Hey,
thank you.
It is great to have you guys. And TJ,
yeah,
did you bring any of your characters?
No, no characters. No. I'm just riding shotgun here. I'm just getting in. I'm sopping up some of your gravy with a biscuit over here. I'm just sort of squatting today, and I just love being a part of your show. The last time Logan was here, we had a great time back in our old studios, and we said we need to do that again sometime.
And we will.
And this is that sometime.
Well,
aren't
we here?
That's right.
So here we are. And when you told me that Mr. Hopkins was going to be here, then that was it. I absolutely had to come in and sit around. So,
well, that is great. It's glad to have all of you here. And one of the things that has been great is because we sent out the press release, we have already gotten listener questions. We had questions that were emailed into us. I also had somebody that called and complained one time because I didn't ask the questions. So I want to make sure that I cover some of those areas. So if I seem like I'm going to change the subject or something, I want to make sure that we take care of them because they're taking care of us. And one of the things, Logan, we had a listener that emailed in that said that they heard you talk on the initial show that you were on a couple of months ago. And they said you talked about retrieving kids from foreign countries, and that on the last show you did, that after the show they were wondering if your job has grown increasingly dangerous or difficult since 9/11.
As in everything?
Well,
going to a restaurant has gotten more dangerous than 9/11.
Exactly.
It's gotten a lot more difficult because of international. I do mostly international, and the international security. Getting in and out of airports and bringing people back in. We used to go and we would. Well, we still do. We rescue. Alan hates it when I use that. Re-kidnap. We rescue, but we sneak in, grab them, and then take them out. Well, you can't take anybody out of a country if they never went into it. Mm. Well, so when we grab them, we don't get their passports. Mm. So we're trying to take them out of the country. We got to give them another pound. And now it used to, you know, that wasn't that difficult before. You get a stamp. You know, you could always get somebody to do something. Now,
and probably a lot more. A lot more buffers you have to go through, a lot more channels that you have to communicate through to simply. I imagine that the departments of state or whatever for these countries, there must be tons more.
And they don't know what we're doing. They don't know we're rescuing some child.
Sure.
You know, as far as they're concerned, we're doing the same thing terrorists are doing.
Right.
You know, so it can get, it can get real hairy.
Well, hopefully they don't think we're doing the same thing as terrorists.
Yeah, but
I mean, they just figure, okay, this guy's doing something illegal, trying to get out of the country into the country.
Right.
Right. So, yeah. So, it's definitely gotten.
Bo, has it been the same as far as doing movies out of the country? As far as working on the sets, is there a big security issue now? Is there concerns of kidnap? What's going on there?
Senator, I refuse to answer that question.
May incriminate. On advice of counsel.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well,
yeah, it does.
Okay, that wraps up our show, everybody. So thank you very much for...
And that's my life story. Thank you.
This looks like an inquisition.
Yeah. All right. Well, who's next in front of the podium? No, really, I mean, as far as working out of the country.
Well, it is, yeah, because first of all, going to the airport now is much fun as an all-night dentist, you know. 2 hours. You got to get there 3 hours ahead of time. But, when my wife's from England, so she takes my son over to see Nana and her sisters, and... So when I come over, you know, it used to be when I did Midnight Express, we shot it in Malta, and right after that movie, I was paranoid. I had to go to Portugal and start another movie, and I kept checking my backpack, see if somebody dropped a roach in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't want to be in Portugal and prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get that kind of feeling, you know, as a traveler, not just an actor, but as a traveler.
Now, who did you work with on that one?
Randy Quaid and a great young actor. He died too young, Brad Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see, who else? Oh, John Hurt.
Oh.
And we shot it in Malta. And people know if you could shoot a hell if we shot it in Turkey, they'd have got our ass.
Oh, yeah. No, you weren't going to shoot that in Turkey. No, you weren't going to get much from the film liaison office. They weren't going to help you with that.
No, not at all.
I'd give my paycheck back.
Yeah. Talk about a movie. Talk about, you know, the fear of God. I mean, you know, I honestly, to this day, I don't want to go to Turkey. I don't want to go to Turkey.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of places I don't want to go just based on that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you've saved me a lot of money, Mr. Hopkins. You've saved me a lot of money. A lot of places I just won't go.
And possibly a lot of bail money.
A lot. Well, yeah. Smack I'm doing, all that stuff, all that product I'm trying to move. At least I know I'm not going to move it through Turkey.
We were going to Sudan. First time we went into Sudan, we snuck in across the Red Sea. But anyway, the set we
did you just say you snuck in across the Red Sea?
Yeah, honest to God.
I swear to God, it's a back door.
We took a 36-foot boat across the Red Sea and snuck into Aden, Yemen.
Okay.
But the first time, or the second or third time we went, we flew in because we had established, you know, a base and everything else and identification and all that. But we're flying in, talking about just how strange these countries are and how scary they are.
Sure.
We're flying in and I've got agents all over the plane. None of us are acting like we know each other. And we're probably the only Americans flying into Yemen. No American in his right mind goes into Yemen.
Certainly the only people dumb enough to sneak into Yemen. Yeah, Everybody else is trying to sneak out of Yemen.
Yeah.
But what they said, the stewardess, or flight attendant on the plane, she said, you know how when you're flying internationally, they tell you, put your watches back 3 hours, you know, this is on time here in this day. And we're flying, so help me God. We this lady comes on, the Canadian Air Canada was trying to train the Yemenis ladies to be flight attendants.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady gets on and she said, ladies and gentlemen, and she said it just like this. She goes, ladies and gentlemen, in 15 minutes, we will be landing in Aden, Yemen. Please set your watches back 600 years. And we just
great line.
Fell. I mean,
that is a great line.
We are rolling in the aisles. Well, no one else was.
No one else
we
was.
We are rolling.
All the fellas who aren't supposed to know each other.
And when we landed, I walked off the plane and I went, she wasn't joking.
Yeah.
It was like there was 50 caliber machine gun holes in the airport, in the windows, and I went, oh my God.
Yeah.
That was prior
9/11. Share with what happened to her.
Yeah, she was crying in the lobby of the Movenpick Hotel that night. and they were going to fire her, and I guess everybody stepped in and tried to, you know, tried to tell him, hey.
Yeah.
It was a joke, but she was obviously just fed up. She was put your watch right. back 600 years.
Oh, what a great friggin' line. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wonderful. Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of that part of the country, tell us a little bit about Sudan.
Sudan's, yeah, another one that's crazy. We went in undercover, but Sudan, we rescued a four-year-old blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl that was in human traffic. They were bringing to human trafficking, and we took her from a Bedouin village in the middle of the desert from Bedouins riding camels and carrying swords. Oh, my God. And we escaped up the Nile River. Now, that's not a movie.
You're right.
Whoa, that's a movie. I told Logan
of Arabia.
That's right.
I love it.
Oh, Logan of Arabia. That is good.
What are you working on now, Bo?
I'm doing a movie producing with for Billy Bob Thornton. He's going to direct it, and it's called Cousins, and my friend that brought it to me, we're partners now. It's about Jerry Lee Lewis, Jimmy Swaggart, and Mickey Gilley. And from the time they were 5, 6 to 15, they all three had a piano, and they all three played it. They learned how to play it by going like Elvis did and listen to the great black singers, you know.
Sure.
Were they cousins?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis,
Jimmy Swaggart, and Mickey Gilley.
Mickey Gilley, yeah. And they all three went there. Well, Jimmy was always, his conscience always hurt. Jerry didn't care, you know, he'd do anything. And Mickey was kind of caught in the middle trying to, you know, make it right between them two. In fact, that's what the movie opens in Texas, with Mickey's place closing down. But anyway, it's a big, I'll probably do a part in it. Hell, I'm too old now to play one of them, so maybe Sam Phillips I'll play.
Hey, that'd be interesting. You play the Sam Phillips.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
But I think it's a great story to tell, you know, for three people and three cousins going three different ways.
Yeah. And plus that also seems to be it seems to be a place that Hollywood is going every now and then these days, is, you know, is the stories of some of these greats, like, you know, Johnny Cash, Walk the Line, and a handful of others. It seems like every 20 years or so, there's a trend where they'll do some biopics.
Mm-hmm. I love true stories. How somebody got somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Architect, it don't matter. But it's a good story that actors, especially when, you know, hell, I quit in eighth grade, so I had to read 100 books a week to try and catch up.
Mm.
And then I surpassed Yale, Harvard, University of... No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
I'm going, where's he going with that?
I never knew that.
One smart dude. But I read a lot of biographies and autobiographies, and I said if I ever got the chance, I'd like to tell stories. And, of course, you know, I was in reform school back in South Carolina, and I go talk to kids. And about like what Steve did out here at Chino, you know, mm-hmm. when he was in... And a lot of kids... you know, I was there, so it helps them. It does. I look up to people when I was growing up, like Robert Mitchum, who got out of that too, and he was one of the smartest people I ever met. Mm-hmm. I think eventually what happens is I got my education through traveling in the movie business. I've been blessed and lucky in that respect. And every country I'd go to, my first four movies was in the country. I had a girlfriend at that time that spoke four languages. She went to USC. She was married to a psychiatrist, but she caught him having an affair, and I'm glad she did, because then she started with me for 4 years. So the more people I met truthfully... That have an education is like somebody that I've met in bars and fights and how tough they are. Fight breaks out, they're the first ones under the table. If somebody's got an education or you're good in anything, you don't ever talk about it. Mm. And you don't ever put somebody else down. Now, I know some people that did, and they went down quick. Pardon me. But I do think that the more stories you read about, I'm talking about Gary Cooper and John Wayne, mm-hmm. you know, who the hell do we have now? I'm not going to mention that.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, what advice would you give parents whose children want to get into TV and movies today?
Well, first of all, you as young as you can. I have my cousin from South Carolina. She's my uncle was a DA, and an uncle that was a judge and a DA. And one sent me to reform school, one got me out.
Hey, keep it in the family.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
But you know, the kids, you got to get them on stage. You got to see. And I'm not talking about beauty contests. If you want to be an actor, you know, some people just have an aura about them that even when they're young, you can tell they're good. Or if they want to pursue that particular thing. First of all, you get them into plays, little theater plays starting out, and then you get them in high school plays, and then they still are wanting that for their future, then you put them out in the street in New York somewhere, so they got to get off on their own and learn how to be, and you learn to act by acting.
Yeah.
Have you ever made pizzas before? Oh, God, that's all my mother, that's all we did. Yeah. When they asked me, have you ever ridden a horse? Ride them, God almighty, I wrestle.
I wrestle.
And then you go out and learn.
I got to get me a couple of riding lessons.
I head right out to Riverside to get one of them old horses.
Oh, that's funny.
But that is true, and then consequently, when you think about it, we're all actors. Some of us just get paid for it because mm-hmm. some of us went and studied, and some of us are born with it, you know, and around it. You know, Brando's mother was a great actress and teacher.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't
either. So people that don't realize that he was around that at a very young age. So you know, once he got to New York, and he met Stella Adler and the rest of them, who I went to class with there. Sit in on her classes two or three times, but I wasn't happy because I had a tough time playing a tomato. which later in Tootsie, you know that.
Oh yeah, that whole thing. Yeah, how can a tomato stand up?
Look, he's a thinking tomato. He's nervous tomato. So you got to be, and also you got to be a little bit wacky to be in the business.
You say that you're blessed. You know, really, you really, really are. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be a successful working actor. It's another one to have. First of all, your voice is unbelievably recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly, it's a really recognizable mm-hmm. voice. You hear that voice, and you know where you heard it. And for a kid like me, I'm a child of the 70s. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the 70s and early 80s.
That was before Bo's time.
That was well exactly. Yes, Bo was already. Yeah, it was already.
I just did American Graffiti playing a teenager.
That's it. Which is also, by the way, I've seen some of the documentaries about American Graffiti, and that's one of the jokes. I think you actually made that joke that you were 20-something or 30, whatever it was you were, playing a teenager.
Yeah.
You had a really funny... But that is right there. How many actors in town can even begin to talk about being part of an American classic, an iconic movie in the United States... And you are flesh and blood in it. That experience.
And Wild Bunch.
An amazing one. That might still pay dividends for you.
My first movie was Wild Bunch, and mm-hmm. I had no idea. I'm working with Bill Holden, who mm-hmm. became like a father to me. My dad died when I was 9 years old, and worked in a mill in South Carolina, and I never got over that. That's why I run away from home. Did a lot of crap. You find out later.
Mm.
And so Bill Holden got me. He helped get me in two pictures after that, and I was out to dinner with him. He invited
after the Wild
me
Bunch.
Every night. No,
yeah.
During the Wild
Bunch. During the Wild Bunch, yeah.
And the guy that did my first interview, a guy come up to me named Abe Greenfield, and he worked in the Valley. And he said, "I'd like to interview you. This is my third day." And I said, "Well, I'm just..." Robert Ryan was standing behind me. He says, "It's okay, kid. Run along. I'm going to do your interview for you." And he did. And it was a page and a half. Robert Ryan had...
But they thought it was you?
I watched this kid for 2 days, and I've seen actors work 20 years. And, God, he just paid me the biggest compliment, you know.
Wow.
And then when him and Bill Holden would smile at me, I melted. I was like a damn kid. And Edmund O'Brien. Now, think about this. I'm rooming with Strother Martin and Dub Taylor, mm-hmm. Ben Johnson, and about six other stunt guys who were 25 on the movie. I was in heaven.
Yeah.
First of all, I was asking them to teach me how to fight, how close you came. Every morning they would help me. Second of all, when I had Peckinpah made me learn "Shall We Gather at the River," I thought I was just going to sing a verse. Well, he said, "I want you to sing that whole song. We're going to do it in recorder. I'm going to need it later." Okay, go.
Jesus.
I broke out in cold blood sweat. And Dub Taylor was up with me all night long with a broomstick, marching around the kitchen, helping me get... "Shall we gather at the river?" Except he'd do it fast. "Shall we gather at the river?" And Edmund O'Brien, what a sweet man. Stanley Kramer, I did the court martial, Lieutenant Callie, and I got to work with Eddie again. His eyes were going. But, I came along at the end of an era, and I got to work with... And not only were they... actors that I looked up to, but they became my friends. Lee Marvin's one of my dearest friends. And, I mean, I've had 10 people want me to write a book in the last 2 years. I said, "Why, you know something I don't?" when am I going? Well, it's true, Good Lord, you pick up the paper every day. I used to get on my grandma because she wrote for three newspapers. I said, "Why do you read the obituary every day? That's depressing." Of course, I'm 16 years old.
Yeah.
And she says, "Because I write for three papers, one, and two, I have a lot of friends my age that are dying, and I want to find out who." I said, "Well, and you know what? Everything my mother and grandmother told me has come true. I'm reading obituaries now."
Every damn day I read the obituaries.
Make sure your name's not there.
Just make sure.
Two people just, one person just died. It was a very good friend of mine. And, Beverly Garland.
Beverly Garland. Mm-hmm. I just read the obit. Yeah. I just read it over breakfast, over my last breakfast. I just read it. Yeah, Beverly Garland.
Beverly Garland Hotel. And she was so funny and sweet, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to the Wild Bunch, I did not have any idea, didn't have any notion. I was just happy to be there. They tested 15 guys for Crazy Lee. I think I come along at the end of 2 days, and Roy Sickner is the one that hired me because he knew the reform school I was in South Carolina. That's how I got the part. And after I did my scene, that's another story, but... he hugged me and told me I made him look like $1 million, and I felt great.
How old were you then?
10.
There you go. Yeah. We got a phone call coming in.
Okay, we got a phone call coming in.
Hey, hello, you're on the air.
You're on the air. I believe you're calling from Hawaii. Is that correct?
Yeah, hello. Hello.
Hey, lower the computer in the background.
Lower the computer.
Please.
I mean, not. Don't take it off the desk and put it on the floor. Lower the volume.
That's
I went to Kalani High School, bro.
Yeah. Hi, do you
Are
have a question?
On?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Logan Clark, this is Don Stroud.
Don!
You're kidding!
How are you?
Hey! I'm doing great!
Hey, Bo!
Bo was just asking...
Hey. I'm listening to your tales down the Nile River and across the Red Sea.
Hey, I got you, buddy.
Good. How you, Bo? Everything going good?
Everything's going good. In fact, I was asking about you the other day to Logan. I hadn't seen Logan in a long time, and I said, have you heard from Don? And he said, yeah, you in Hawaii.
Well, I'm in Hawaii. I'm producing my own talk show with a comedian over here named Andy Bumatai, but we're having trouble with Aloha Airlines, our sponsor, so we're on hiatus right now. You know, the Aloha Airlines went down with the economy over here.
Oh, that's right.
We did 150 shows, and it's coming along, but it's a tough gig. That casting is very hard for talk shows, you know.
We only
have a million people here, and they're not all talented, that's for sure. So,
you run out of people. I'm a flight away. I'm a flight airplane away.
Don, I've got a room full. Don, I've got a room full here. I'm sure that you could fly Logan, me, TJ, Bo. We're all willing to get on a plane right now.
If Logan can make it across the Red Sea, he could get anybody you need across the Pacific in a Dixie cup.
Logan's first on the list, and then Bo, and I'd love to have the guys on the show.
Man, it'd be great to see you. Right. I miss you an awful lot.
Well, Logan and I go back to old Hollywood, the old Sunset Strip days. And,
that's right.
And Bo was out in the valley. We had some wonderful, wonderful times together. We did some movies together.
Absolutely.
And it was all good.
Hey, and we all three did Sweet 16 together.
That's right. And
that was a winner, wasn't it?
What was that you did?
I let Brando pick up my Academy Award for me.
You like Brad?
Brando.
Brando.
Oh my God! We did have some great times, and also Barney's Beanery, and what was that place that we went?
The whole scene in Hollywood was wonderful when we were there.
With Warren Oates and all of us.
Well, Stroud was a bouncer at
Whiskey and Go-Go and the whole bit. And Hollywood was a different place then, and we had a good time, and we sort of ran the whole joint up there, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. What? And I'm working on a club right now in Nashville with these other people. And we're going to have Whiskey A Go-Go Girls dancing in the shimmy dresses. It's going to be a 60s place.
Awesome. I love it.
I'm going to have you come over as a guest one weekend. Now, if these people come through with the money, if they don't, check all the banks.
Isn't that an old story in Hollywood? Everybody's got a script, this great script. You got any money? Well, I don't have any money, but I have a great script.
Well, ideas don't cost nothing, see.
Now, are we talking, this is 70s Hollywood, yeah? Are we talking 70s?
The old days.
Now, that seems to me like, it seems like there's two eras that I would have loved to have been a part of Hollywood, and I'm definitely one of those people, I feel like I was born at the wrong time or whatever.
Yeah.
But the 50s is one time, the late 40s, early 50s. I like that with Ciro's on the Sunset Strip and Slapsy Maxie's and those places where showbiz was showbiz, and you had Frank and all that going on into the early 60s. And then though you get to the 70s, it's after LA had a chance to grow up a little bit, and it's before and then it's before it got too friggin' old, which is now. And I mean, it's starting to decay for a lot of reasons. We'll get into that later. But the 70s, that must have been prime time for single fellas with a bit of notoriety. You guys must have been friggin' exhausted. There must have been body parts that needed a rest.
I was managing the Whiskey A Go-Go at the time, and I was like in my 20s or 30s or whatever I was. But women, hot and cold women all night long.
You must have actually gotten tired of it. You must have said, you know what, sweetheart, not tonight.
The Doors, the Leaves, the Buffalo Springfield, the Birds. We had these wonderful Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Just the greatest of the greatest were at the Whiskey A Go-Go in those days.
I used to love to hear Johnny Rivers and watch those girls shimmy and them.
Johnny Rivers, Trini Lopez was great.
Trini Lopez. I put it this way, as far as women goes, we got used to it.
Bo, you never got used to it.
Well, I wish I was back there now.
I wish I was that young again, brother.
Yeah, really, if I could do that.
Well, listen, if you guys ever come to Hawaii, be sure and look me up.
We definitely will.
You've got
definitely
it.
Definitely will. Miss you, love you, and I hope to really see you soon.
Good. And Logan, nice talking to you. I know we didn't get a chance to talk, but please, let's make contact.
My dear friend.
Yeah. Oh, Logan, we go way back, brother.
Yeah. He had a when we first went way back, he had a dog named Logan.
I know I did. Oh, that's so funny. Well, we were at Thanksgiving, and my uncle kept saying to the dog, Logan, get down. Logan, get down.
For real.
And Logan's ducking.
He thought he was talking to Logan.
Yeah. I said, what the hell is going on? Yeah. He said, that's the name of my dog. I said, knock it off.
Yeah. Well, some people have to eat the kids' table.
And I'm going to talk to y'all later.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Take care, Don.
Wow. Okay.
Bye-bye, all bro. Right.
What a great surprise.
Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic.
You just clicked the red there.
Yeah.
You're good. So that's a blast in the past for you, huh?
Oh,
you guys,
God, yeah.
Who was in your guys' pack? You know, I just mentioned Frank and Dean. If you guys had a bit of a pack that you ran with, who would that
be? The guys that came to Bo's. Let him go through
was,
some.
Joe Don Baker, Warren Oates.
Joe Don Baker, Warren, okay.
Yeah, and we had Robert
Fuller.
Fuller. Yes.
Bob Fuller.
Yeah.
Alex Cord. God, and when I wanted to really get rough, we'd get Bill Smith.
Oh, Jesus.
If you went out with him, you'd have to kill about 10 shots, not feel the pain later because it was coming.
He was, I'll tell you a great story about Bill Smith. Yeah. We were in the Philippines, and that's where Don and I first met, in the Philippines. He was doing... I was
Boys and Company C, was it?
No, it was before that. It was way before that. I was in Boys and Company C. Yeah, he was doing God damn it. He did Murph the Surf. He did all kinds of stuff. But he was over there with Robert Conrad. But Bill Smith used to go over there all the time with American International Pictures, do Roger Corman movies. Mm-hmm. And they were doing a Hell's Angels movie over there. And I was there in about, it was like 69 or 70. Yeah. And we were at the Intercontinental Hotel, the only like 4-star hotel at that time, in the country. Mm-hmm. And they all came in. I was doing a different film, but we all knew each other. And they all came in their Hell's Angels outfits, and they were dirty and everything. And this is in Manila, and everybody wears suits in this hotel and everything. And they went up to the bar. They wanted a beer before they went to their hotel room. Filthy. Looked like the Hell's Angels really walked in. And Bill Smith is leaning against the bar, and there's this little guy in a suit, and he said, "Do you realize where you are? Do you realize what hotel this is? Who do you think you are?" And we're all the way down the bar, we went, "Oh God, not gonna be good." And Bill leaned up, his arms were the size of my thighs, right? Yeah. He leans over towards this guy, and his arm bulges. Looked right at him. He goes, "I'm selling tickets to an ass kicking. You want one?" I love it. That's good. And nothing. This guy just straightened his tie up, put money down on the bar, and left.
That
Bill Smith.
Oh my God! So that was a hell of a pack that you guys would roll with, that.
Yeah. Well, we didn't see each other all the time, but when we did, usually it was on a weekend Pips or Pips.
Or at your house.
Or at my house. Mm-hmm. And so it was good, to see everybody.
We roll into the back. What was the car that you had? It was a pickup, but it was a fancy one.
Ranchero.
Ranchero.
Ranchero, And we would be there, and we'd find out which one of us was sober. Well, enough. Bo would throw the keys at him and say, "Okay, the rest of us roll in the back."
We just roll
in the back of this thing.
And now, let me ask you: could you trust? You see, it's a whole different thing back then, too. Yeah. I was just going to say, God, did this ever end up in the papers? And I know, listen, back then there was all the people working the Hollywood beat, and they would get the photos of this and of that. But today, you can't, Lindsay Lohan can't pick on, that's one kid I'm sick of. But I'm saying, no, these kids can't pick their nose without it being on 9 different TV shows at 7 o'clock that night.
Stroud and Bo and I would be in prison, probably.
You would have been nailed.
If we did the same thing.
But back then.
They nailed me. Well, I did hit a National Enquirer guy.
Well, okay.
At that time, I was dating an actress that had more class and. And she was probably the most beautiful woman, one of them that I've ever seen. And we were friends, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to sneak out. And down in Santa Monica, we were outside eating. I kept hearing this clicking.
Ah.
And the guy's behind one of those big flower pots.
Uh-huh.
And before I realized it, I lost my temper and I grabbed him and threw his camera up against the brick wall. And then I went and he run and I'm chasing him and she's sitting there, don't hurt him. So I had to stop and come back. And then of course they wanted to sue, but at that particular time, you let things go. Yeah. It's funny about actors. I mean, first of all, you want to get in the business so you'll be recognized and people will come up and ask you for your autograph. I don't care what any actor says except for Paul Newman.
Yep.
That happens. I mean, your agent calls, hey, look, go up to the Go-Go tonight or go up to Pips. There's going to be a lot. I said, I don't want to go up. It's business. Mm. So then you get a date and you go up and they take the pictures and it's all crock of stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's the way you start out. Hell, even I was on them.
And also back then when you did something, right, that hit the papers or you got in a fight or whatever, it hit the paper one time.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe twice.
Right. It wasn't on CNN for 24 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. Now they've got every paper, every news.
The thing about it, actors go to all this trouble to become actors, right? Now, I'm not saying everybody's an actor, but they take your picture and they do this.
That's when you're starting to make it.
Of course
you're getting recognized.
Is. Hell, I was even at one time on them teen magazines. And so you make it. Now, all of a sudden, you're wearing dark glasses. You don't want nobody to recognize you.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretty soon, the same people that were taking your picture and you waving at them, take my picture and put me on da-da-da-da. Yeah. Now you're, hey, man, don't mm-hmm. hey, you, what you have is not actors, but spoiled brats, period. You got to be thankful you've ever been in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. You got to get down on your knees and thank God that you're able to sit there on your mark and say dialogue. Mm-hmm. You've got to be thankful that you're even involved in doing a movie. And you got to be thankful that you have the talent to get up there. And if you don't, you won't be working long anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You buy all the new houses new cars, and then next year they cut your series. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough business.
Yeah.
And we're just high-priced whores.
Face it.
But if I'm going to be one, I want to be high-priced.
right, exactly.
Well, Bo, one of the things I want to make sure that we touch on is that I know that you have a golf tournament. Okay, can you tell our audience a little bit about the tournament and how they can get information in regards to it, because it's for a great cause?
Yeah, this year, for the past 5 years, the first year, my buddies all, I got 8 guys I grew up with, and of course they've been out here all, they've been with me in the up and the downs, and so we were doing it for, they have a battered children and women's clinic there. And a lot of sexual abuse kids. I never knew that many until I got involved. So first year we raised $5,000. Second year we were $25,000. Third year we were $45,000. And of course this past year we were $50,000. As we got to that point, this year we're changing it to autistic children because people don't realize. One out of every 10 child now has autism.
That's an amazing
That's
number.
Amazing.
That is.
That's ridiculous.
You know damn well something is wrong.
Something's going
That's
on.
That's right.
And it's in the hospitals. That's where it starts, right there. When they give those babies, and I picked him up right after he came out, took him down, they washed him, they go up his nose, and then he's screaming and crying. No wonder they're in bad moods.
Mm.
And they give him shots.
Right off the bat.
Well, a baby that's in a womb is the safest place in the world. When they come out, boy, their own bacteria fights off
right.
other diseases. And I think that they do what you can do to a purebred cat. Mm-hmm. If that cat is purebred, it's not supposed to have distemper shots. Mm-hmm. Because when you give a purebred distemper shots, I had a cat that died. Mm. He got distemper. I think the same thing with children. Of course, that's just me. And I was astonished. And now, some people get on the air and, my wife has been with Matt and and she's
Matt is your son? I'm sorry.
Yes, Matthew McCoy Hopkins. Yeah, he's a character. He's people ask him what he wants to be when he grows up, and everybody thinks he's going to be like his daddy. He says Walt Disney. So I think he's pretty smart in that respect. But she has read every book, took him to every, and she goes to the schools. I don't go as much as I should, but I heard her say one time, she didn't know I was listening, she was telling somebody, if God came to me and gave me a choice to have any child that I wanted, I'd still want Matthew. And so that was very sweet of her.
Absolutely.
And so I decided that I wanted to, now they just gave me a day, Bo Hopkins Day in Greenville, South Carolina.
Congratulations. All right. Nice.
And I got the key to the city, and Matt was there. And nobody knew it, but I have a friend, and he has a band called the Outer Towners. And Steve was singing, but before he started, he said, Matt, you want to sing the national anthem? Uh-huh. He got the mic, he turned around, and everybody out there didn't know it. He sang the national anthem. The whole thing didn't miss a word.
Sean
and I were looking at each other and tears going down.
Of course.
And everybody was so proud. So, and then my other friend took him fishing for the first time, and we went down to Greenwood, and he caught his first fish. He said, oh, my God. It's about this big.
Yeah, it's a minnow. Yeah.
A minnow. So to see him laugh, to see him get something, you got to not have a heart to not love those kids. And I've seen some bad cases. I've seen some kids that their parents never sleep. You know, they're up all night. They don't sleep. They're hyper, you know. Mm-hmm. And they think it's a wave going through the brain. It's like a shortage that you'd have. You know, your radio works anyway. And then your radio works
right, sure.
And they think that might be, you know, if you could find something to stop that and let it settle. But I'm hoping, and of course, you know, good Lord, look at all the muscular dystrophy and things that kill kids used to be polio when I was a kid, and it was scary.
I think it's a universal thing. And guys are softies. You know, we really are. There are things that tug at our hearts, and I think that's one way you want to disable a guy. You want to cut a guy at the knees. Yeah. Show him a little kid in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Show him a kid, you know, just can't do what the other kids do, or a kid struggling to find a word due to whatever. That's what gets us. So, you know.
Make-A-Wish Foundation is, that would kill me if I had to be around it every day. Because, you know, I don't like to see animals, kids suffer.
We're softies. I tell you, so now this golf tournament, when is it? Where is it?
It's September the 10th in Greenwood, South Carolina. And I've had a lot of people that come in for when I was up, you know, in school for a little while, and they all come back. It's like a reunion.
Nice.
Well, what's the website they can go to get more information on it? Or I would imagine there's a way for them to donate. I mean, go back to that statistic. One in ten kids have autism. Okay, all the money for this tournament is going to that research. So
it would be going to the regional in South Carolina, and if people would like for me to come to different parts of the United States to do it, I will certainly be happy to go anywhere where there's help for, you know, autistic children and parents. You know, parents need to be guided.
They need
too,
support,
because they go through an awful lot. My God, I had no idea. It's like when I'm a kid. My mother, you know, my dad died, and he was 39 years old, and she was a mother, a single mother. But she took kids to school at that time up until I was in the fourth grade. But being a housewife, that's a tough job.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it until later when you're married. Of course, you know, when you're teenager, your testosterone
don't
have no radar.
Yeah,
and so you start thinking a little bit later. But this is something that I think should be addressed by somebody like Jerry Lewis or in that capacity that could raise money to get a research on this, because it's got to be something that's happened in the last 20 years.
We've never
heard of this.
The increase has been phenomenal.
It's in the crosshairs. We're in that range. Right. You know, you look at that radar thing, and it's pinging within the last 20 years.
That should be scary.
And there's a lot of actors with autistic children. Some talk about it, some don't. But the thing is, it's a child, and see, Matt has no fear. And
how old is Matt?
He's just turned 13.
Oh, okay.
He's a teenager now. Mm-hmm. God, I have a daughter who's 45, so
it's a spread.
If Anthony Quinn can do it when he's 91, what the hell can't I?
Yeah, right?
I'm just a kid. I'm only 103. You can reach, it's bohopkins.com, where it gives you my credit. And then you can reach me through there, or you can reach me at Pharaoh Bo, PHARAHBO.
At There's that and, pregnant pause.
And where'd you get that? Where'd you get that name, Bo?
Where'd Pharaoh Bo come from?
Well, you know, I played a princess once.
Okay. Now, speaking of Pharaoh Bo, I'm gonna throw this one at you. I was cruising the internet, and I found something, and it said it was the top 100 lines from famous movies. One of those lines was from American Graffiti. I'm going to read the first half of the line. You read the next half, Bo. You ready?
Okay.
Okay? I'm Kurt Henderson. You know Toby Juarez? Toby Juarez. He's a pharaoh, isn't he?
Toby Juarez?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
No. It's Joe goes to Toby Juarez. Sure, we know Toby. We killed him last night, tied him to a car, and drug him.
Yeah, that's it.
That's your line.
No, not mine. That's the other guy's line.
No, that's your line.
My line, yeah, we know Toby. We tied him to the car last night and killed him.
There you go.
Killed him. we're going to kill you now.
I think most people remember is too. What most people remember is... what are you doing, creep?
Yeah.
You talking to me? No, I'm talking to the other 50 creeps. Or are they like, you know, Rome wasn't boint in a day.
That's good. I like that. Okay.
One in a wild bunch of people used to get me in the back, especially in Texas, I'd be walking down, or go to bath, somebody would eventually say, hey, how would you like to kiss my sister's black cat's ass? And I'd say, oh, it's Crazy Lee. That's my line in the Wild Bunch.
You'd be like, say, what the hell?
Where did that come from?
No, the thing was, you know, my real name is Billy, and this really happened. And it happened in Wisconsin. My buddies don't. They sometimes my aunts would call me Billy, you know, because it was always Billy Hopkins. So I'm in a restaurant, and somebody comes up behind me and put something in my back. And says,
"Yeah, you can say well on his well, show. Yeah, say F. Yeah. Say yeah. effing.
Yeah,
effing.
Yeah."
So F and I wanted to go there, I'd have gone there in the first place. Anyway, he taps me on in the back, right? I like you, Billy, but if you move, I'll blow your ickin' head off. And I turned around, and he said, "Hey, man, Midnight Express, Midnight." Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's funny. Occupational hazard, having these classic lines.
Yeah, that's true.
That's something I'll never have to worry about.
Absolutely.
I'll never have to worry
about.
You're
just beginning.
I don't know. We'll see. Oh, God. It's beginning of the end for me.
All right, you know what? We're going to take a break right now. I want to tell everybody, hang on. We're going to have a short break. TJ is going to continue the show. Bo and Logan are going to stay with us.
That's cool. You guys got a little bit of time?
You sure. Got it?
Delicious.
All right. Everybody, thank you for listening. You're listening to Answers for the Family. If you need to go to the website, it is answers, the numeral 4, thefamily.com.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio.